Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix-It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Happy Saturday, and thank you for joining me today. We are going to talk about some mortgage information. This, you know, and specifically, I've had a lot of people asking about appraisals and worried about appraisals and not really understanding what an appraisal is. So I thought we would start with talking about an appraisal and talking about what an appraisal is, when it's needed, and kind of give a idea of what is all involved there. And with an appraisal, you know, you have to understand an appraisal is an opinion of value, and it's a snapshot at a given point in time. The reason I want to bring that up is if you have an appraisal, let's say you think that your house has a value of $200,000, and then your appraisal comes in at $193,000. And a lot of people get very upset when it comes in at 193. Now, it is very upsetting if it's a purchase and can be an issue. So, you know, we usually have to work through those type of issues. But on a refinance, it may or may not affect the refinance. So that's the first thing we're going to look at is does it affect the financing? And if it does, then, you know, what can be done? Let's say it came in short and it came in lower than what you expected on a purchase. You paid $200, came in at $193. Now what do you do? Because we're going to use $193 as value. Now there's the first thing that we do is we have the seller and the seller's agent. Normally the buyer will give them a copy of the appraisal and they'll look through the appraisal and they'll see if there's anything that they think is incorrect that is actually something that we can argue, that we can turn in as to the appraisal department so they can get with the appraiser to say, hey, they think, you know, sometimes the real estate agent will give us additional comps so that we can say, okay, well, here's the additional comps. Here's some things that we think you missed. It's up to the appraiser to decide if they think that they need to use those, if they just missed them. Maybe they weren't up yet when they did the appraisal. But that's one of the pieces. Now, the other thing, they can look at it and say, well, you know, in this, you put it 2,100 square feet. It's actually 2,300 square feet. Here's the measurements. You know, here's what it is. And the appraiser normally, if you're thinking it's measured incorrectly, they'll come out and relook at it just to make sure. I will tell you, most of the time, the appraisers have the correct, even if it hasn't been correct in past. Even if it's been higher in past appraisals, or even on the government sites where they have that. Another piece of it is if maybe they missed a room, forgot a basement, put a two-car garage, it's a three, you know, anything like that, anything that is substantial that we can point to and say, hey, you missed this, which is generally not the rule. It doesn't happen very often, but those are the kind of things that we can go to an appraiser about and say, hey, we need this relooked at. And then they will either relook at it, or then we can send it for a review, and we may decide as a company, as a lender, we may decide that it warrants a second appraisal, so that we know that we have a valid appraised value. But if you're purchasing the home and it does appraise at 192 and you pay 200, there's several options that you have. What happens is you renegotiate the price, and normally down to or in between that 193 and the 200, in between that or at the 193. Anything over the 193, you would have to bring that additional money to closing, because we're going to use 193 as the value. So I won't get into all the detail, but that's how the appraisal works on a purchase. On a refinance, if it doesn't affect anything as far as your financing, then it can be irritating, but it doesn't really make a difference, because an appraisal does not follow your home. They're only good for 120 days. And after 120 days, they aren't valid anymore, because again, it's a snapshot at a given point in time of value. So as long as it appraises enough that you get everything that you wanted, we don't have any issues. We just move forward. It doesn't make any difference, other than it's a little irritating. If it does affect things, and we do basically the exact same thing we do with when it's a purchase, we just have you look at it, tell us if you think, you know, what you think is incorrect. We can get that information to our appraisal department, and then they can get with the appraiser and see if there's anything that the appraiser feels like, well, maybe they did miss this or did miss that. I will say for the most part, homes are appreciating very well. And for the most part right now, we're not having appraisal issues. It does happen. Not everywhere is, you know, do we get the values that people think their homes are worth. But for the most part, we are seeing very, you know, the values are there. The homes are holding value, even though you may have heard differently, but homes are holding value and actually increasing. I saw statistics the other day, and I think they increased, you know, year over year, 2% in Indiana, we're a little over 2%, where we expected 4.5%, but that's with the virus and everything. We haven't seen that. Most people think the values are going to come back. Now, one exception on the appraisal is on an FHA loan. An FHA loan, the appraisal does follow the house for 120 days. So if you were trying to buy a house on an FHA and it falls through because of the appraisal, if the next person who buys that house is looking at an FHA, that same appraisal is going to be used for 120 days. Once 120 days is gone, then the appraisal goes away. So obviously the appraisal is very, very important to financing or refinancing the home. Now, one of the things that we have available to us that some lenders do not, and that is that we have the, many times we'll get on a refinance, we will get a appraisal waiver. What that means is that Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae come back and they say they don't need an appraisal. Obviously, they have a great storehouse of values of homes in the area. They financed most of them. They have a really good idea what they are. And so they can come back and say, nope, this one is good. We don't need an appraisal. They take the value that we put down that we estimated it at, and that's what we go with. And that's a huge benefit on the refinance because number one, you don't have to pay for an appraisal. Number two, we don't have the time that it takes to get the appraisal done. That's a big time savings. And we also, now we know the value, so we don't have an issue with the appraisal coming in lower than we anticipated. So that's a huge deal. And it's a very important piece of the puzzle when we're looking at refinancing. So if you're interested in looking to refinance or purchase, but you know what, you want the opportunity to get an appraisal waiver, get on my website, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Again, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Put in your information. I'll contact you. We can talk about it and we'll go through it. And it doesn't take a lot to find out if we can get that appraisal waiver. We do need an application and we need some basic information, but we find out very, very early in the process whether we're going to receive that appraisal waiver. And again, it can be a huge boon and can be very, very helpful in the process. Now, if you are also looking at values, there's a couple other things you must realize. When people are looking at the value of their properties, they look at assessed values and what's the real value. One of the things that we notice is an assessed value is for your taxes, your property taxes. The city or the county comes in and they assess the value of the property. The vast majority of time, we see that those assessed values are lower than what an appraised value or a sale price is going to be. So if you look up what the assessed value is on your home, most likely, not guaranteed, but most likely you're going to find that the value, the actual value of the home that comes in on an appraisal is going to be higher than what that assessed value was. And I have a system where I can look up most of those items. I can look up the assessed values on most homes, not on every home. We can get an idea. Now, there are systems out there that will give you value, the websites that you can go to. My warning on those websites is that what we have seen here in Indiana, what I have seen anyway, is that they are not very accurate in our area. Now, I've talked to loan officers out in on the East Coast, and they say they're almost dead on. But I don't know why, but here they're not accurate. So if you go online and you look at a website that's giving you a value, and I'm not going to say they're high or low. I mean, it just depends. I've seen some that are high, but I've seen the vast majority of them. It's amazing how much lower they are than what the appraisal comes in at. So if you look at that and it isn't giving you the value, I wouldn't necessarily believe that that's the value of your property. The only way to know is we either get that appraisal waiver or we get an appraisal. And those are the two ways that you know at least what we're going to use as the value of the property. So we want to make sure that you don't miss out on a refinance. And why is that important right now? It's important because rates are unbelievably low. It is definitely worth looking at refinancing if you have a possibility, if you have your finance now, if you have a rate, it's even hard to say what it could be. The 15-year rates are all of them are unbelievably low and below anything I've ever seen. And I've been in the mortgage business and around it and new home sales and things like that for over 30 years. And these rates are incredible. Now, after the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about the appraisals, and then we're going to get into mortgage insurance.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hardworking mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
So as we've talked, appraisals are obviously a big piece of the refinancing. It's one of the first things that gets done, and the value of your property is very important. And as I said, many times we don't even need appraisals today on a strictly just straight refinance. I'm really surprised at how many appraisal waivers I am getting currently. It's almost every refinance that's just a straight refinance. Almost all of them are getting the appraisal waivers. It is amazing. Now, if you're doing a cash out refinance, something like that, you're not going to get it. They don't allow the appraisal waivers. I'm talking more on the conventional mortgages, not FHA or VA, but on the conventional mortgages. So we're seeing a tremendous amount of the, appraisal waivers. So we don't even need appraisals. And that's a really helpful piece.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
Leah R. asked me the other day, she said, she was thinking of selling her home and she looked up values online and she wanted to know how accurate are the online values. We talked about this a minute ago, but the online values, what I have seen, what I have been able to, when I get an appraisal in or when we get the appraisal waivers or somebody tells me what the value is of their home, a lot of times somebody will say, I think the value of my home is X. And so I'll go on. I have a system I can go on that happens to pull up all, three different appraisal, values of what these websites, websites are estimating the value of the homes are. And it is amazing to me how many of them are really low compared to what the value comes back at or what is accepted for an appraisal. So, for Leah, it's like they aren't accurate. My suggestion is you just don't really use them as a value right now. For our area, they are not accurate as far as I can tell. Now in some areas they are very, very accurate, but here they just don't seem to be. And that doesn't mean they wouldn't be 100% accurate on some homes. They probably are, but on many homes they aren't. I don't know what is wrong in the calculation, but I've had many a home. In fact, I had one just a few hours ago that I looked up and, the system was saying it was lower than what they had paid for it like 5 years ago. And I know that's not going to be the case. I know it's going to come in higher. We're not seeing any of that unless, there's some real issue with the home. We're just not seeing any of that. So I would, again, not worry about what those values are saying online. It's definitely worth, if you're looking at refinancing, definitely look worth giving me a call or sending me an email. Or actually the best way is just go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. And we can actually, we'll get the information and very quickly we can find out whether we're going to get an appraisal waiver. It does take an application and we have to get enough information to see if we can get that appraisal waiver. It's a great option. But even if we don't get it, doesn't mean it's not worth doing. It's just one of those things. It's a benefit that some lenders don't offer, but we do. And I think it could be very helpful if you were looking at refinancing your home. Along with that, let's talk about mortgage insurance or private mortgage insurance or mortgage insurance premium. It's called a variety of things based on what type of mortgage you're doing. And the basics on private mortgage insurance, a lot of people will tell me, hey, Rick, I don't want to pay mortgage insurance. I just don't want to. And I understand that because nobody wants to pay any extra on their monthly payment than they have to. So what are the requirements? The general requirements on private mortgage insurance is you need 20% down when you're either refinancing or purchasing. Now, if it's a refinance, you need 20% equity. If it's a purchase, you need 20% down, and then you don't have mortgage insurance. So what are the options if you're not at 20% down? And this is unconventional. Okay, so we're talking about a conventional mortgage. An FHA, it doesn't matter what you put down. You're always going to have mortgage insurance. FHA is a constant mortgage insurance. Now, there are some changes in some specific areas I won't get into, but there are some changes. But for the most part, FHA, the mortgage insurance is on the loan as long as you have the loan. But on a conventional mortgage with 20% down, you don't have mortgage insurance. But let's say you have 10% down and you really don't want mortgage insurance. And you would rather, if there's some way you can avoid it, you would like to avoid it. So how can you avoid? Basically, it's very difficult to totally avoid it. Some people say I avoided it by doing what's called single premium mortgage insurance. And what that is you pay the mortgage insurance up front. The nice thing is if you have, as long as you don't go over a total loan to value, meaning that your down payment, let's say your down payment takes you to 90% loan to value. As long as we can add the mortgage insurance, that upfront mortgage insurance or single premium, it's paid up front, but it can be added into the loan amount and it doesn't take your loan amount considered over 90%. So you get the mortgage insurance based on 90% loan to value. It's paid in your mortgage. So let's say it was $3,000, your mortgage insurance, your loan amount would have gone up by $3,000, but you wouldn't have monthly mortgage insurance. And that can save you, significant amount of money. Again, if you're looking at that, there's some ways we can talk about that. We can show you what that does. Now, that can be really important for several reasons. One, if you just don't want mortgage insurance, you don't want to pay monthly mortgage insurance, that's one reason. But I caution you on one issue. If you do that, it's a mortgage you have to consider you're going to have for a while. It's going to take you probably 4 years or so. We'd have to run the numbers, but take you a while to recoup what adding it in. But if you, let's say you're going to have it for 10 years, it can be a huge boon for you. So we'd want to run those numbers and make sure it's the best option. So as we do that, we look at those numbers and we just make sure that's going to be your best option. And that's on conventional mortgage. And that is called private mortgage insurance. And then the piece that we're talking about is single premium. So you can do the single premium or you can do monthly. Now, let's say you think, okay, I'm going to buy this house. I'm going to have mortgage insurance, no way around it. But I'm going to do some work on it. And I think rates are going to drop or maybe stay the same, but I think they're going to drop. And I think I'll have the work done and I'll be able to refinance the home in a year. Well, that would not be a time to do single premium mortgage insurance because you're only going to, if that's the case and you can improve the home and when we go to do an appraisal in a year that the value comes out higher in a refinance, then you won't have mortgage insurance. So there's a lot of things to consider, a lot of moving parts to consider when you're looking at that because the key is we want to save you as much money as possible. We don't, if single premium's the right one way, we want to look at that and go that direction. If monthly premiums are the right for the situation that you're in, we might want to go that way. The other benefit of single premium is it does lower your payment. So if you're close on qualifying, single premium can be a huge benefit to you on helping you with getting that qualification on what's called debt to income ratios. I'm not going to go into that right now, but that would be on your debt to income ratios. Now, the PMI, which is a conventional, that's private mortgage insurance. It's also called MIP. It's a little different. That's called mortgage insurance premium. The difference is PMI is private. MIP is actually what you pay on an FHA mortgage or USDA, anything that has mortgage insurance. That's a government loan, FHA. That's an MIP. The basics doesn't matter. I mean, it's the same basic thing. but it's just called something different. Now, an FHA, you have two types of mortgage insurance. You have upfront mortgage insurance and you have monthly mortgage insurance. The upfront mortgage insurance is added to the loan amount. And then unlike on the conventional, when you do single premium, you don't have monthly mortgage insurance. FHA, you still have mortgage insurance monthly. So you have both. But FHA can be a godsend if you can't qualify or for some reason don't qualify for a conventional mortgage. The FHA can be a perfect mortgage for you. And again, FHA also has some phenomenal rates right now. They had gone up, they were not very good, and now they're down and they're below conventional from what I've seen. So if you're looking at that and you're looking at FHA, it's still a great option in the right situation. It can be a very, very good option. Now, another possibility of avoiding mortgage insurance is doing what's called a piggyback second. And a piggyback second can be an issue right now. It's what you do is you take your first mortgage to 80% loan to value approximately, and then you do a second mortgage or a home equity line of credit to make up the difference. So let's say you're at 90% loan to value, that second mortgage or home equity line of credit would be for 10% of the value or the purchase price. And that would eliminate mortgage insurance. However, there's several things that happen when you do that that you have to be aware of. Number one, your interest rate is going to go up. There is a increase in the interest rate if for some reason in that situation. It also has an increase because you have a second mortgage or home equity line of credit. There's also going to be an increase there. It's either going to increase your closing costs or it's going to increase your rate. The other negative to it is mortgage insurance will at some point go away. The piggyback mortgage only goes away when you pay it off. So those are things you really have to be aware of when you're looking at your mortgage insurance and you're looking at, you know, whether you want to do a piggyback mortgage. Again, these are things that we should talk about and we should, you know, go through and make sure that you understand the options so that you're comfortable and you're making the best decision for you. One thing I've learned is there is no right answer for everybody. There is no, this is the way to do it. I have had many people who I've heard tell customers that, and it's just not true. There are FHA is a great product for some people. It's a terrible product for other people. Conventional is a great product for some people. It's a terrible product for others. You know, your single premium mortgage insurance can be great for somebody. It can be terrible for somebody else. You know, there's just so many of those things in mortgages, and it's something that you don't do very often. So you really need to talk to somebody who knows what they're doing, who will guide you down the correct path so that you end up with the mortgage that is right for you. And with me, what I do is I try to lay out the information so that you can make the decision that's right for you. Because again, there is no right answer. There is no right answer that everybody, this is what everybody should do. I want to lay it out so that you can look at it and you can make the decision. That's the one I want to go with. I have many customers who will ask me, so Rick, what would you do in my situation? And it's a tough question because I don't know anybody's entire situation. And I rarely answer that question as, you know, in fact, I don't think I ever answer the question as, you know, here's what I would do. I answer it as, well, here's the information I understand. Here's what I believe that you have. This is what I see. And in that situation, here's what I would likely do. And here is why I would likely do that. I would likely do that because this is going to save me this amount. I'm going to go through that. But when I do it, it's all about the numbers because I'm in the mortgages. So I'm going to do the numbers. There's other things that are involved. It's how comfortable you are with the payment. I don't know that. You have to decide. So, you know, what's going to be, you know, best, a 15 or a 20 year? Well, it depends on how comfortable, part of it depends on how comfortable you are with the payment. So all those things we need to look at. So if you have any questions, you want to talk about a mortgage, please feel free to give me a call, send me an email. Again, the best contact, you can look me up online at hardworkingmortgageguy.com. All my contact information is there, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. But you can also put your information in the contact area and I will get back with you and answer any questions that you have, or we'll talk about anything that you know you want to talk about as it relates to mortgages. Again, I appreciate it very much. Please go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com and let me know, you know, what questions you have. And next week, we're going to talk about credit. And there's a lot to talk about there. A lot of people are hearing, you know, issues that are going on with the credit. And we want to talk about those and make sure you know exactly how it all works. Thanks for joining me. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.